Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished, beginning from the verse number 20. Adhapas Parishya Salilam. Sandadhyetat samahita. Ajanan api samharam. Pranakritcha upastite. Adhapas prishya salilam. Sandadhyetat samahita. Ajananapi samharam. Pranakritcha upasthite. Adhapas prishya salilam. Sandadhyetat samahita. Ajananapi samharam. Pranakritcha upasthite. Upasprishya, touching in sanctity, salilam, water, sandadhe, chanted the hymns, tat, that. Samahita, being in concentration. Ajanam, without knowledge. Api, although. Samaharam, withdrawal. Pranakriche, life being put in danger. Upasthite, being placed in such a position. Translation. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he didn't know how to withdraw such weapons. Okay, thank you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The subtle forms of material activities are finer than grosser methods of material manipulation. Such subtle forms of material activities are effected through purification of sound. The same method is adopted here by chanting hymns to act as a nuclear weapons. I was also requested to read through till verse 22, verse number 21. Thereupon a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger. And so he began to address Lord Sri Krishna. Verse 22. Arjuna said, O my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. Purport. Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Sri Krishna, as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both of them were present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is especially the Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is sometimes material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can also be extinguished by the mercy of the Lord Sri Krishna. The spiritual master is a mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of the self-realized spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of the suffering person and inject knowledge transcendental, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sinhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Tavrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhadale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Adesha Tarine. Adhapas Prishya Salilam Sandadhi Tat Samahita Ajanami pisam haram prana kricha upasate. Since his life was in danger, he touched water in sanctity and concentrated upon the chanting of the hymns for throwing nuclear weapons, although he didn't know how to withdraw such weapons. Thereupon, a glaring light spread in all directions. It was so fierce that Arjuna thought his own life in danger, and so he began to address Lord Sri Krishna. Arjuna said, O my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries, I can find the path of liberation in you only. My name is Rajendra Kumar Das, and I come from Russia, from the far eastern part. I'm just across the Atlantic. My place is just near the China and North Korean border, so it's like a very far east of Russia. And I'm a preacher for the last 30 years, and I'm traveling here, and mostly I'm preaching to Russian-speaking groups in America and Europe, and today I was invited to come and speak here. I'm a little bit embarrassed to speak in front of many senior devotees, so I'm asking you to please bless me so that I can say something wholesome and beneficial. Hare Krishna. In these verses, there are two main points I'd like to touch. The first one is that subtle processes come before gross processes. As we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, the process of creation has two main stages. One is sarga, means subtle creation, of by Mahavishnu, and second one is visarga, it's a secondary creation by Lord Brahma. So we can say this a secondary creation is a manifestation of the ideas or thoughts, subtle creation, which were produced by Lord Mahavishnu. So Brahma is just fulfilling the desires of Mahavishnu. And also we can observe that whatever we do, first we think about it, and then we fulfill or execute our plans. So any activity has subtle form and gross manifestation. So that's the way it is. You know, there is no way to act otherwise. So you know, first comes sketch of the house, then the house itself. First, you know, some blueprint or how you call it, some drawing of the dress, then the dress itself. So it's the way things are. Things are designed, beginning from the Lord Himself. And nowadays there are two technologies, we can say, original technologies which come from Vedas, from God, and there are some modern technologies. And the main difference is that modern people, they just ignore the plan of the Lord. They just think that their efforts, they are main thing. And that's why many people who act on the material level, they fail very often. And we know that the Vedic way to do things is just first to invoke some blessings from the Lord, and then, you know, to act. Like, you know, we start our Srimad Bhagavatam class first invoking the mercy of the Lord, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then we say prayers to the Sri Guru Parampara to invoke their blessings, and then we start to speak. That's the way. In a similar way, we know that all Vedic technology is based on sound, and sound is Krishna Himself. He says, I am the sound in ether, and I am ability in man. So Krishna's potencies are there, they are in the sound. And that's why Vedic technologies are based on the proper chanting of Vedic mantras. That was the original technology, we can say. And Vedic warriors, they before they launched their weapons, they, you know, chanted these mantras. We can give some other examples, like, you know, when we, before we start to construct the temple, we perform this cornerstone laying ceremony, invoking auspiciousness. We install this Ananta Shesha in the foundation, because Ananta Shesha, he is holding the whole universe, and he is holding planets upon his hoods. So we pray to him that please, you know, make our temple stable. So again, it's a manifestation of this kind of approach. Ayurvedic doctors, before they make medicine or before they treat the patient, they generally have to say some prayer to Lord Dhanvantari, because he gave this original science of Ayurveda. At least they should do it. Because Krishna is saying that I am the healing herb in Bhagavad Gita. So actually Krishna is healing. And the doctor, he is just, you know, applying this medicine. So he understands his dependent position on the Lord. And that's why first, you know, he is doing that invocation. Also, in yoga, before people are doing this Surya Namaskar or whatever, they say some prayer to Surya, because Surya is responsible for our health. So we can say that Vedic technology consists of two parts. First, invocation to the Lord, and then action itself. Modern technology is just action itself. You can do some gymnastics without invoking the mercy of the Lord. And that's the difference, main difference. Again, before conceiving the child, parents are supposed to do this garbhadhan samskara. It's also, you can say, a subtle form of the job. You know, they try to invoke some pious living entity to become their child. Musicians, they are supposed to say their prayer before they start to play, and that's why we address mridanga as Balaram Mridanga, because we understand that these musical instruments are manifestation of the Lord, his tools, his instruments. So we pray to Krishna before some important activities, and even if activities are not so important, still Krishna is suggesting that's why first you have to remember me and then act. That's his suggestion to Arjuna in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Even in some simple activities, we have to first think of the Lord. I remember a few experiences in India, like back in the 90s. I was in Jagannath Puri, and I just needed to buy a gamcha. And I went to the market, and that person, he was trying to sell me a big piece consisting of two gamchas. I said, I don't need two, I need just one, you just cut it in two. He said, okay, and then he took the scissors, touched them to his head, said some mantra, and then cut it. So first, he, for successful execution of such a simple thing, he was dependent on God. Maybe it was just his habit. Anyway, it's a right habit. Next time, I was trying. I didn't have. It was, in the times when it was not so easy to buy. It was not, tickets in the internet were not available at the time, so you have to buy it just from the desk. And in Calcutta airport, I needed to buy some train ticket. Maybe from Delhi to Calcutta, I needed to buy some train ticket. And I approached the cashier, and he told me, he looked at his computer, and he said that if you need tickets for today, it's, probably there is no any ticket, because you have to buy them in advance like that. But he said, I will try. So he just, typed, my request and my order, and then he prayed, He prayed, and after, the system was loading, the database, and after a few seconds, he said, well, you're lucky you've got one ticket. So, again, we see that this subtle creation or invocation, to the mercy of the Lord comes first. It should be our habit, actually, because it's the right way to act. What else should be said? Second point is a fear. When Ashwatthama launched his weapon, Arjuna felt that his life was in danger. And he naturally appealed to the Lord. And he said that only you can instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Fear is, a natural feeling in this material world, because we are all in the temporary material bodies. And time factor is destroying, changing and destroying everything. As Krishna states in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I am destroyer of the whole world. And I came here to destroy all warriors except you, Pandavas. So we observe in our life as time is destroying everything. And naturally it produces some fear in our hearts. And in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 10, Krishna says, Vittaraga bhaya krodha mammaya amam upashritaha bhavo gyana tapasa putamad bhava agdha. Being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. So we know, we understand from this verse that fear is produced by attachments. Mm? Fear doesn't exist on its own, though it has some origin. And it's very natural for the tiny living entity to be attached to something, to something or to somebody. Because we are very dependent, jiva belongs to tatastha shakti, it's marginal energy. We have to either drift to the material bank or the spiritual bank of the river. It's like a viraja. Viraja is a river of desires which flows right through our hearts. And there are two banks to this river, material existence and spiritual existence. And we make a choice. When we take shelter of the material existence is all under the influence of time. And time is changing anything and ultimately destroys everything. And since we become attached, we naturally feel some fear when we see some destruction. Some relative dies or something, you know, just disappears, which we were attached to. Fear, we can say, is just following us like a shadow. We are always fearing. It's from slight fear to be late, it's terrible fear of death. It's a big range of emotions, from slight fear to terrible fear. As I mentioned, fear is produced by attachment. So our technology, we can say, is to shift or to redirect our attachment from material existence to Krishna. That's the point. It's the whole point of sadhana bhakti. We are trying to shift our attachment, to redirect them from material things to Krishna. Transcendental knowledge helps us to understand that we are attached to people and things because they temporarily reflect opulences of Krishna, six opulences of Krishna. We like people, we like things because they are beautiful, people may be strong, people may be glorious, people may be opulent, people may be renounced. So whatever we are attracted to, all these opulences, they originally come from Lord Krishna. So that's why by always hearing about the greatness of the Lord and his opulences, we start to understand that whatever we may be attracted to in this material world, be it living entities or non-living entities, people or things, they're all attractive to us only because they temporarily reflect these opulences of Krishna. And we need to hear about it again and again, unless this understanding becomes very, very deeply rooted in our heart. Otherwise, if our knowledge is very superficial, we tend to forget about it. When we forget about it, again, we start to experience attachment, freedom, and anger. Anger is another consequence of this attachment, because anger is our state of mind when somebody or something doesn't behave like we expect. And we become angry. Why don't do like that? I said it should be done like this. Everything, fear and anger, they all come from attachment. That's why this raga is the main point, actually. So we can be attached to Krishna or we can be attached to the material world. If we are not very renounced people, if we are not sannyasis, somehow for 20, 30, 40 years, we have to spend in the material life without taking official renunciation, but with the help of spiritual knowledge, we can become tyagi. Tyaga is, we can say, internal renunciation. Sannyasa is an external manifestation of internal detachment. So if you are not taking sannyas, we can develop tyaga. Actually, that's what Krishna is recommending in the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called parityaga. Parityaga yoga means the yoga of complete renunciation. And he defines this complete renunciation as keeping our activities, but in the mood of renunciation. Our activities should be just connected with Krishna and offered to him. That's all. When Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mama kam sharanam vraja, you can take this statement in two ways. If you are in the renounced order of life, you can take it literally. You just reject everything. Externally, you can reject it, and nobody will protest. If brahmachari or sannyasi or vanaprastha, they are not attached to anything. But if you are grihastha and you read this verse, sarva dharman parityaja, it doesn't mean that you don't have to perform to do your grihastha duties. You have to do it, but you have to do your dharma not for artha kama and moksha. You have to do it for Krishna. As we can say, more subtle understanding of this statement, sarva dharma parityaja. Because Arjuna, after hearing this verse, he didn't reject his duty. He did his duty externally, but in the mood of renunciation, in the mood of offering it to Krishna. So, depending on our position in the society, we can take this sarvadharman parityaja either literally, just you know, renouncing all material activities and just being engaged completely in the spiritual activities, or if you are in the grihastha ashram, then we just take the mood of renunciation. We don't renounce our duties, but we take the mood of renunciation. Instead of sannyasa, we are trying to develop this tyaga, internal renunciation. We are doing this duties for the satisfaction of Krishna. I was told that the class is until 8:15, so I briefly, you know, gave you whatever I wanted to say, so now we have some time for questions and discussions.
First arises from attachment. A verse came to my mind that in the 10th canto that dvitiya vinavesha tasyat bayam dvitiya vinavesha tasyat, that actually it starts from the identifying with the self. Wouldn't be that after that you become, you know, like the attachment. Wouldn't be the first one, I'm asking. Wouldn't, based on that verse, that fear arises because of misidentifying with the material energy, and then after.
Well, actually, the statements, they just describe different stages of attachment. We can analyze it, you know, in depth, and then we say that we are attached to the people and things because we want to enjoy. And for enjoyment in this material world, we have to identify ourselves with the body. If you don't identify yourself with the body, you can't enjoy it. So that's why just a different stage of analysis, we can say. Attachment is a general thing, but you know, this attachment comes from the desire to enjoy this material world. That's why we need ahankara, false ego, to become identified with that. So it's just, you know, another way to approach this topic. Okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. So you were mentioning about Vedic technology and you were giving different examples. Can you explain more how Vedic technology works? Because now we blame this technology, you know, everything is I don't know, these computers are going to fail down and eventually all this so-called advance is going to collapse. So can you explain more about the alternative of developing Vedic technology?
Vedic technology is based on the understanding that everything comes from Krishna. Om Janmadiya Syadaha. Material energy and spiritual energy, everything comes from Krishna. And in this material world, we are mostly dealing with material elements. We are dealing with eight elements, like, you know, this ether, air, fire, water, earth, and then mind, intelligence, and ego. And these elements are mixed with three modes of nature, and they are turned into, we can say, they are enforced by the force of time. And in Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna explains about five factors of activity. Kshetra, the field of activity, then the doer, you know, living entity, and then different efforts, chashta, then different instruments or tools, and the final factor of activity is daiva. Daiva means paramatma, will of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So out of these five, two are spiritual, that's jiva and paramatma, and three are material, field of activity, efforts, and tools. And people who are living in the Vedic paradigm, who understand, you know, that we are spiritual living entity, who are dependent on God, for this kind of person, it's natural to take to Vedic technology, because we understand that two elements are material, and three elements are material, and two elements, jiva and paramatma, they are spiritual. And without daiva, without the will or permission of the Lord, nothing can be done. Those people who don't understand that, they're not very intelligent, Krishna says further in this 18th chapter. Those people who don't consider all these five factors, they are not very intelligent. It means that they are ignoring the main element, the will of the Lord. They are trying to explore cosmos, the universe, in a very challenging way. You know, this space vehicle is called Challenger. They're trying to, you know, explore the space by challenging God, challenging the Creator. It's not a very productive way to explore things. If you challenge, you know, somebody who produced something, you know, it's very difficult to communicate with that person. You better humbly ask him, you know, how thing works, you know, and then he gives you instruction. So we are trying to explore cosmos, universe, just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And modern scientists, they are trying to, you know, send some messages to space, you know, looking for some intelligent life in the universe, but so far they didn't get anything. But as far as we are concerned, we already got the signal from the Brahma Loka, because, you know, the head of our parampara, Brahmaji, you know, he's beginning of the universe. So we got his message through Guru Parampara, so we got this message that, yeah, there is a life in the universe, without, you know, this all costly material science like that. So another example is, like, say, agriculture. We need food. Every day we eat some food. And the food is produced from the earth, and there is a bija. Krishna is saying, aham bija pradah pita. I am the seed-giving father. So it means that the grains are produced by him. You can give all money of the world to the scientist and ask him, please produce one little grain. They will not do it. They'll fail it. Because the grain is produced by the Lord. So we are dependent on him. That's why Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 15 that people are dependent on grains, and grains are produced by the rains, and rains are coming down because of yagyas, and yagyas are prescribed in Vedas, and Vedas come from me. In this way, Krishna is present everywhere, including this little tiny grain, which you're eating every day. Those people who are doing some agricultural work, they plow the land, they plant the seed, and then they pray to the Lord. Please give us sufficient rain, please give us sufficient sun, like that. So modern people who are doing agriculture, they materially do the same thing, but they don't pray to the Lord. Instead, they put some, you know, artificial, we can say, fertilizers into the land, because they think that these fertilizers will produce good food, not Krishna. In the Ayurveda, there is interesting statement that all this pandemonium, this, you know, spreading diseases, they come because demigods, they just turn their backs on people when people stop doing yagyas. And when demigods just turn their backs on us, the food becomes bereft of prana. Prana is lacking in the food. Thus, people's health goes down. They become weak. And in this way, they become subject to different diseases. In this way, diseases spread. When demigods bless people, the food is full of prana. People take this healthy food. They become strong. And they can fight all diseases. So in this way, people get this internal strength. But originally, of course, it comes from Krishna, because demigods are there just his servants like that. But the technology, Vedic technology, it is based on the full awareness that we are dependent on God in the food, even in our breathing process. how long we can stay without food? 30, 40 days. How long we can stay without water? 5-7 days. How long we can stay without air? Prana. 2-3 minutes. And Krishna is prana. He is prana. So we are dependent on him all around. So if you really understand that, then this natural technology follows. So it's not that, you know, we have to do something artificial. We just understand that Krishna is all around. We are dependent on him in every aspect of our life. Then, before we act, we, you know, tasmat sarvesha kaleshu mamam usmarayutya cha. Before you do something, Krishna says, remember me.
Okay. Yes. Jabra, thank you for coming and sharing all your realizations with us. Early in your class, you gave this, making the point, or gave the example about how the proper consciousness is that one should first remember Krishna, or you say a prayer, and you gave those two examples of the man who he was just going to cut the dhoti in half, but before he did that, he touched the scissors to his head, and he said some mantra. And then when you were getting the ticket, the ticket agent, you know, said a prayer before. Mm-hmm. So what if that guy who was cutting the gumsha messed it up, or when the computer came back and said there was no ticket, does that mean that that prayer didn't work? Or
no, God is not our order supplier. We say a prayer, you pray to him, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he will 100% respond positively. Here, I mean, he may respond in any way he likes, because our plans are dependent on his plans. In some cases, you know, our plans, they, you know, they're in tune, we can say, with Krishna's plan, and then everything goes fine. But even when we are praying to God, we have to be prepared that he may react differently, not as we aspire. So it's one, actually, it's one element of Sharanagati. Sharanagati means that we become fully dependent on God, and not to have any plans which are different from the plans of God. So if you want to do something, we pray to God, and it doesn't happen, well, maybe it's not Krishna's plan, and we have to adjust our plans. So we have to be flexible and be able to adjust, mentally adjust to what is happening. Because, you know, you may want something, but Krishna may want something else. So Vedic technology doesn't mean that it, you know, 100% works according to our desire. Vedic technology also means that Krishna's plans also matters. And he may somehow correct our plans. It's also part of Vedic technology. Okay.
Prabhu, sorry, you mentioned that if prana is not present in the food or the, you know, the eatables, so we get diseases or we get sick. So when we go out to the market to get food, how can we recognize which vegetables, fruits, irons has prana or what don't have prana?
Well, some prana is always there. Otherwise, we would not live at all. So some prana is always there. But in Kali Yuga, the span of life is shorter. Why? Because there is less prana. And people, you know, pollute the air around us. You know, they pollute water, they pollute soil. So it becomes less prana. And on the gross level, prana is manifested as proteins, fats, or amino acids like that. And so we can say gross manifestation of prana. But originally it's a subtle energy given by Krishna. Prana is his pushti shakti. Pushti shakti is an energy of nourishment by which Krishna is maintaining us. So some prana is always there. Of course, if you buy something frozen or tinned or canned, you know, it's practically nil. Well, but if you buy some fresh vegetables or fruits, you know, of course some prana is there. But, you know, you have to remember that we are living in Kali Yuga, and in Kali Yuga, all good things are reduced to practically some minimum. Okay, anything else? So if there's no more any questions, we can stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.